Welcome to the Christian Heritage Church podcast. We're located in Graniteville, South Carolina, near Augusta, Georgia. I'm Pastor Stephen Phillips, and I'm glad you've joined us. We're on a mission to love people to life in Jesus Christ. Our prayer is that this podcast will be used to bring you to life in Christ, renew your faith, and strengthen you on your journey with Him. To learn more about Christian Heritage Church, go to ChristianHeritageChurch.com and discover additional ways that you can partner with us to make a difference. Thanks for listening today and enjoy the podcast.
And man, God is good this morning, isn't He? If you have your Bibles, let's go to Luke chapter 1, some very familiar passages of Scripture. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26. If you're wondering what the title of my message is, it's not on the screen. It's called A Baby Changes Everything. Pretty simple, right? Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, "Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women." But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, considered what manner of greeting this was. Then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son. And you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there will be no end." Then Mary said to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" The angel answered and said to her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also, that the Holy One who is to be born will be called the Son of God." Has any other person ever been more influential than Jesus? Has anyone's birth ever affected history more? I want you to think about it for a moment. No one else can say that their birth split time, right? BC before Christ and AD, Anno Domini, Latin for the year of our Lord. So his very birth split time in half. Can anybody else say that? H.G. Wells said this, "I'm a historian, not a believer, but I must confess as a historian that this penniless preacher from Nazareth is irrevocably the very center of history. Jesus Christ is easily the most dominant figure of all time." What an incredible thought from someone who claims not to be a believer, but as a historian recognizes that everything centers around Jesus, this birth that we celebrate here at Christmas. As I thought about that this morning, my mind began to wonder about how Jesus had changed lives over the past 2,000 years. I thought about Mary, a young lady who historians say probably was between 13 and 16 years of age. Can you imagine? Who obviously was living a life in a way that honored God. And now all of a sudden there's an angel appearing before her saying, "You have found favor with God." Now, as I began to think about that, favor with God wouldn't necessarily go against every law and tradition that you were that was known to your people, right? I mean, we're talking about a young lady who's gonna now be pregnant outside of wedlock. How is that favor? How? This young lady, her world was about to get turned upside down. But her response to the angel was what I would hope mine would be if an angel appeared and said, "God had something special for me, not being pregnant." Let me just say that. "Be it unto me, let it be. I want to do what God has for me to do." And I'm sure as she began to think about this, she was overwhelmed with this unbelief, a sense of awe and amazement. And there was probably some excitement. "God has found favor for me. I have found favor in his eyes." But then reality begins to set in, right? How do I explain this to my parents? How do I go tell my mom and dad this? How do I go to my betrothed one, my fiance, if you will, Joseph, and say, hey, by the way, I'm pregnant? How do I go to my preacher and my church family? Think about it for a moment. How many of us today, if a young lady walked in between those ages and said, hey guys, I was visited by an angel and I'm pregnant, but I've never done anything. How many? It would be hard. Let's just be honest. An angel appeared to you. You found favor with God. Pregnant, you've not been with a man. What do you mean, the throne of David? What do you mean he's going to be called the Son of God? How hard would it be for us to believe that today? See, I wonder what happened when Mary had to begin walking this thing out every day. What happened when she started walking down the streets? Now, we don't have a record of anything necessarily Mary endured during her pregnancy, but human history has proven this, that mankind can be cruel to one another and opinionated and harsh with their words, their remarks. Can you imagine the shuns and the lookaways as she approached? Can you imagine the whispering that was happening until she walked up? The isolation. There's no way that this was an easy road. And I'm sure her thoughts were all over the map. And I wonder how many times she thought, this is the favor of God. But here's what we do know, that Mary walked out this calling faithfully. She knew her life was going to change, but an encounter like she had always changes people's lives. The news and fulfillment of this baby changed everything about Mary's life. But what about Joseph? How would he handle the news from his betrothed? I mean, here they were. They had let everybody know they had planned to be married. It was like an engagement. There was a little bit of difference, but there was no official wedding that had taken place. And we don't know a whole lot about Joseph except this. In Matthew 1:19, he's described as a just or righteous man. We see that he wanted to put Mary away privately so as not to cause her any shame, not to disgrace her publicly. Why? Because again, he knew there was going to be backlash. He knew this was going to stir up the town. And then we see here Joseph is visited by an angel as well in a dream and given a specific assignment to take Mary as his wife and be the earthly father of Jesus. The scripture tells us he did just that, that he followed this call and he took Mary as his wife. He set aside any ridicule he endured, all the questions, the I can't believe. Can you imagine his friend group? You're telling me you believe her? I can't believe you would take her as your wife. He put all that aside because he had heard from God. See, Joseph knew what he had heard. He knew what his call was, and despite it turning their whole world upside down, Joseph obeyed as well. Why? Because a true encounter with God changes how you think. It changes how you act and how you live. And in the middle of this chaos surrounding their circumstances, the life-changing events that were happening around them, Mary and Joseph remained true to what God had asked them to do. This call that changed their whole world, they walked it out faithfully. The baby that would soon be born, Jesus, as they would name him, they both had been told that he would be great, that he would rule, that he would save his people from their sin. But in the moment, in their present moment, it couldn't have been easy. It couldn't have been a cakewalk. So how did they handle it? One day at a time. They lived life. They did what was required of them, even going to be taxed. They did life every single day. They faithfully did what Jesus or what God had called them to do. See, for them, this baby changed everything about who they were, who they were going to be, but they never lost sight of how God had moved on them, how they had had an encounter with an angel, how God had called them to play a part in the birth of the one who still turns people's lives upside down. What about the shepherds? Their story is found in Luke chapter 2. Do you think their lives were affected by this baby? Imagine being in a field and an angel appeared to you announcing the birth of a baby that seemingly had nothing to do with you. Then all of a sudden the sky fills with a choir of angels who began to sing to you. Now I'm sure as shepherds they'd had some stories that they liked to tell. Probably adventures of fighting off wild animals, right? Probably how they had to go down in this great ravine to rescue this one sheep that had wandered off. They probably had these things. They probably talked about incredible star-filled light shows that they had seen in the sky. But here's what I can imagine, that this became their favorite story to tell. Do you remember the time when the sky was full of angels? Do you remember the time we had this visitation and we left our flock to go find this baby? See, as you look in their story in Luke 2, the angels do not give a specific address of where they'll find the baby. We don't see that there's a star that led them. What we know is that they were told a town and they left where their flock was and they went and found the baby just as Scripture said it would be, in a manger. They went looking. Smelly old shepherds getting the first baby announcement. They left their flock and they hunted him down. And then Scripture said that they began to tell everybody around about this news, about what they had seen. Can you imagine the enthusiasm and joy that they told their story with? Hey guys, listen, angels told us about this baby and he was just like they said, you need to find this guy. There's something about this baby. Here's what we know. As they went back, their life was never the same because they had a visitation. They had an encounter with the baby that changes everything. What about Simeon in Luke 2? Here's a man who the Holy Spirit had told him about this Savior that was coming, that he would see the Christ before he died. What kind of anticipation he must have been living in as he passed by people, as he entered the temple. I wonder if he wondered, is this the Christ? Is this the one I've been promised? I wonder how often the enemy put doubts in his mind about the promise that he had received. How many times did he wonder if he had missed hearing the voice of God in his life? He had been promised to see the Christ. Where was he? And then one day, the Bible says, the Spirit of God drew him to the temple. Now, was it a normal time for him to visit? We don't know. Or was it just that all of a sudden that morning, the Spirit moved on him and said, you need to go to the temple today. All we know is that in that moment, he walked in the temple. And at the same time, there comes Mary and Joseph and this little baby. And immediately, the Bible says Simeon takes up Jesus. And what was his response? I mean, it was unbelievable because the Spirit speaks and said, this is what you've been waiting on. This is the Christ. Can you imagine for just a moment the emotions that had to come on Simeon, the reverence and awe of this awaited promise, and now he's holding him in his arms. The Bible says that in that holy moment, Simeon responds this way, "Lord, I can depart in peace because you fulfilled your promise. He is here." You see, that life, that moment, it changed Simeon. See, when you encounter God in this way, when he answers your prayer, when he reveals his salvation to you, when he shows himself to be the light of the world, it changes everything. What about the wise men? As you study their journey to get to Jesus, historians tell us that it could have taken them up to 2 years to get there. Seeing this strange new star in the heavens, they set out on this journey. And imagine traveling by foot or camel for that long to find someone who you assumed was royalty. I mean, I don't know about you, but man, I don't like to travel more than 3 or 4 hours in a car. These guys are traveling up to 2 years to find this baby on foot or by camel. Man, they were determined. But think about it now. They assume he's this king, and so they stop by the palace. And they say, "Hey, where is he? Where's the king of the Jews?" And everybody at the palace is like, "What you talking about? There's no babies here." And they said, "But wait a minute, we saw his star and we began to travel. We began to come." They said, "Sorry, he's not here." And so as they leave the palace, what happens? The star appears again and takes them to the place. Now, here's what they knew. They knew that something life-changing was waiting for them as they followed the star. They had heard about the prophecies of a Savior. They saw the sign in the skies above. It is possible that this group that we now call three, although we're not really sure how many wise men, we always assume it's three because there was three gifts, right? That's what everybody says. But it is possible that it started off as a big group. But as happens in life, when things don't happen as quickly as you want it to, or if it gets a little difficult, what happens? People fall by the wayside. But not these guys. They kept on. They kept following the star. Because all they could think about, these guys who made the journey, was, "We're going to see the King of the Jews. We're going to see the King of the Jews." So they arrive and they find this child, and what happens when they get to Jesus? Their heart, their one desire is to worship. Their one desire is to offer gifts that they have for him. Why? Because when you encounter Jesus, it's overwhelming. All you can do is worship. When you have a moment like that, you're drawn to just lift praise. You're drawn just to give him your best. See, they knew they had found the Messiah, the one that they had heard prophets speak of, the ones that they had worshiped, so they began to worship. See, when you have a personal encounter with Jesus, something happens in your heart. You have a desire to bow down and worship. One version of Scripture tells us that after the Magi went back, they went back a different route because of Herod. But I know that's a literal going back differently, that they took a different course. But I believe that they went back differently on the inside as well. I don't think they were the same men who made that journey to see this baby. Why? Because Jesus changes everything. See, Jesus began changing lives as a baby, but his birth was just the beginning of God's plan. As the angel told Joseph, "For he will save his people from their sins." And as Jesus got older, he marveled the temple leaders at age 12, and he began to grow in favor with God and man. But the birth was just the beginning, because the biggest difference would be made when he went to the cross to die for our sins, for the sins of all humanity. I want you to think about his death on the cross for a moment. It changed how man could approach the throne of God. No longer did you have to have a priest to intercede for you. Now you had a direct line yourself. It changed how sins were forgiven. No longer were the blood of animals required, but the blood of a perfect Savior had been shed for our forgiveness. His death on a cross bridged the gap between creation and Creator. Because this baby was born, everything changed. Ask Peter, Luke, and James, and John how their lives changed after they met Jesus. It turned their world upside down. Ask Nicodemus, who came by the dark of night to ask a few questions, how his life was different after he had an encounter with Jesus. Ask Jairus how his encounter with Jesus changed his whole family's life when his daughter had died and Jesus brought her back from the dead. Ask the woman with the issue of blood who, just by touching the hem of his garment, was healed when doctors for 12 years couldn't do anything for her. Ask Zacchaeus how his life changed when Jesus pointed to him in a tree and said, "Today I need to go to your house for lunch." Ask the widow from Nain how her encounter with Jesus changed everything for her dead son. Ask Joseph of Arimathea how his life became different after he met Jesus. All of a sudden, a disciple, a rich man who said, "You know what? I'll take the body of Jesus because I know he won't be in it long in my tomb." Ask Saul what difference Jesus made in his life when he had an encounter on the road to Damascus. The same man who was traveling from place to place to kill Christians all of a sudden dedicated his life to spread the gospel. Why? Because an encounter with Christ changes everything. Ask Martin Luther how his life changed when all of a sudden he recognized the grace of an almighty Savior. Ask Billy Graham how his life changed when he realized he was a sinner in need of a Savior, and he knelt at the cross and asked to be forgiven of his sins. Ask actor Anthony Hopkins, who I was reading about, who said he was an alcoholic and an atheist, and he could not stop. It was destroying his life, and he was in an AA meeting and someone said, "Why don't you just trust Jesus?" And he said, "Why don't I?" And he said in that moment that he put his faith in Christ, he immediately took the taste of alcohol away. Why don't you ask Herb and Cheryl Sizemore what happens when you have an encounter with Jesus? Why don't you ask Ralph or Kay Porter what happens when you have an encounter with Jesus? Or Bubba and Pam Barwick, what happens when Jesus steps in the scene? Or James and Sarah Huff, what happens when Jesus comes in? Or Ray and Sherry Bentley, what happens when you surrender? You have an encounter with Jesus. See, there's a lot of people whose names we could call this morning who could testify that Jesus has changed your life. Because when you have an encounter with this baby that changes everything, you're never the same. This morning, I'm going to do something a little bit different. I'm going to invite my wife up. Because I wanted her to share with you what happened when she had an encounter with Jesus.
Good morning. So I'm just going to give a very small part of my testimony that Jody asked me to give about an encounter that I had at a youth seminar when I was a teenage girl. And I'll tell you, leading up to that youth seminar, I wasn't this wayward, terrible, misbehaving, rule-breaking girl. I was not. And I went. I even went to Christian school for a little while when I was a girl. So it wasn't that at all. And I was at this youth seminar that was with the church and a group of young people, older teenagers that went to that seminar. But the day that this happened, I remember going into this church service, and we sat in these chairs that had arms on them. And the reason I remember the arms is because I had to hold on to the arms of that chair to not go to the altar before that service ended. And that night, the pastor was preaching about the crucifixion and about Jesus dying for our sins. I heard this story 100 times. But that night, the difference was that I realized that Jesus died for me. He died for the whole world, but he died for me. And I realized that he loved me. Not just that he loved the whole world, but that he loved me. And I was so sorry. I remember feeling so sorry that I had taken his love for granted, so sorry that I had maybe cheapened his salvation or my salvation by not living my life for the right reasons. And again, I wasn't doing things that were wrong, but the reasons why I did the things that I did wasn't to bring glory to him, I guess. But I remember sitting in the chair, and I remember it was almost as if the whole entire sanctuary of people were gone, and it was just me and that preacher preaching about the crucifixion. And I remember going to that altar and praying and being so sorry and telling God that I was sorry for my sins and that I would live the rest of my life for him. I remember getting up from that altar and going to the back of the church after service and telling Ray and Sherry Bentley and I think Marie Williams and I'm not sure who else was back there that I wanted to share my testimony. I wanted everybody to know what Jesus did for me. It was for me. I remember the service ending and being outside that service and sitting on a bench with my friends and still weeping. I had an encounter with Jesus, y'all, and it changed my life. It changed my life. I was 17 years old, and I am 48, and I have never, ever been the same again.
See, this baby's birth, we celebrate at Christmas. This birth of Jesus Christ was the same man who grew and hung on a cross for you and me. And although Christmas is a time to celebrate, Jesus knew he was born to die for you and me. What I want to ask you this morning is this. Have you ever had an encounter that has been life-changing with him? I'm not talking about, listen, we've all been in his presence this morning. I want you to hear me. I'm not talking about that. Because when you walk out, that feeling will go away. What I'm talking about is an encounter where you've recognized that you are lost and you need a Savior. Where your life is never the same. If your encounter with Jesus has not affected how you act and how you talk and how you walk, then you've not had the encounter I'm talking about. Because once you do, you can't go back and be the same. It's just not possible. When you recognize that he died for your sins, when you recognize that he loves you, that he wants to be a part of every part of your life, it changes everything. So this morning, I just want to ask you, what has this baby done for you? Has he changed everything? Because he can and he will, if you'll let him. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? I know for some people, it probably seems strange, the emotion that pours out when I talk about what Jesus has done for me, what Michelle has talked about, what he's done for her. But I can't help but be emotional when I recognize who I am and who he is. This morning, if you're here and you've never had that experience, that encounter, he is in this place. And he would love to change your life if you would allow him to. Nobody's looking around and nobody's going to embarrass you, but if you would say, Pastor Jody, I want to know Jesus this morning, would you slip your hand up? Is there anybody who would say that? I want to know Jesus this morning, Pastor Jody. Thank you for that hand. Anybody else? Anybody else would say, I need my life changed by this baby. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for those hands. Thank you for that hand. This morning, whatever your situation is, maybe a long time ago, you had an encounter, but it's been a little while. Can I tell you? He's the same God. He loves you as much today as he did back then. Could we stand together? I'm going to pray, and here's what I'm going to ask. At the end of this prayer, we'll be quietly dismissed. But if you raised your hand or if you would like prayer, would you please meet me up here? I would love to spend a few moments talking to you, praying with you. There'll be several of us down here. But hear me. Don't spend this Christmas season not having had a life-changing experience with the baby that we celebrate. Because Jesus changes everything. Lord, thank you so much for your grace and your mercy, for your love that is overwhelming. God, I pray that you would help us today. Lord, there were several hands that were raised, three or four of people who said, I want to be changed by Jesus. Lord, in this moment, would you come in and begin to work and move? Do what only you can do. God, we can't change ourselves. We can try to do all these things, but the truth is when we just lay our life at the foot of the cross, when we invite you in, you begin to do things that we can't do for ourselves. Lord, if there's someone here who is in the middle of a battle, maybe they're like Simeon and there's been a promise that you've given them and the enemy's whispering in their ear that it's been too long, that maybe they missed your voice. Lord, would you reassure them today that you've not forgotten about your promise? Lord, we thank you that you sent your son to earth as a baby. But I thank you that he became a man and died on the cross for our sins so we could be forgiven and the gap would be bridged. We celebrate you today. In Jesus' name.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Christian Heritage Church podcast. I want you to take the message you've just received and allow it to go deep into your heart. Allow Jesus to do the deep work that only he can do. And I also want to encourage you to be a part of what we're doing here at Christian Heritage by going to ChristianHeritageChurch.com. Thanks again for being here with us.